You're listening to the New Century Multiverse. Let them go. Chapter 10, A Man's Work. Dawson grabbed the shotgun and wrenched it away from Rebecca, who clung on.
Let go, girl!
He gripped the stock and twisted it towards him. Rebecca, who had half sat in a chair to steady herself, now stood up and locked eyes with him, refusing to relinquish the weapon. His own eyes flared and he bared his teeth at her, growling as he forced his weight down upon the pressure point between them. The metal frame shuddered as they strained against one another. The tape on his gauze came undone at the top, and the bandage fell slightly away from his cheek. A thin trickle of blood escaped one side, tracing a pinstripe of red down his neck. Rebecca put her foot back to brace herself as she tightened her fingers. It was not budging, but she might be able to hold on long enough for him to give up his prize. All of a sudden, he shoved the butt of the gun into her ribs. Momentarily shocked by the pain, Rebecca flinched, and the shotgun was his.
You're hysterical, like your sister,
he growled curtly as she stood her ground. Dawson took a step back and broke the gun open, loading it with two of the shells from the cake stand before pocketing the rest.
Now your aunt did a foolish but brave thing there. Don't betray her honor by getting yourself hurt.
He pushed a finger to the tape on his face, loosely reapplying the dressing. The blood stripe remained. Rebecca stepped back and watched him warily.
So the fellow outside had friends. I expect they'll want to come in here soon and rob us blind.
Rob us? You saw what that thing did to Rafe. What the two of them just did to Cleo. I don't think they want our money and our possessions. I think Amanda was right. This is Egyptian rabies. It's here.
In response to this, Dawson shook his head and stalked to the bottle of brandy on the coffee table, sloshing a generous glassful and draining it.
You still don't think so?
Lunatic from Bodmin Asylum. You can't deny what was written in the paper. He fitted the description.
Approaching the front door and placing her ear to the wood, Rebecca could hear the sounds of eating, and tears flowed freely as she realized she would never see Cleo smile in that enigmatic way again. The magnitude of the ordeal threatened to overwhelm her.
Cavendish is gone. I saw him die just now. Shot by my aunt.
She took a deep breath, trying to process.
However, Amanda thinks that at some point on his journey to our doorstep, he came into contact with someone suffering from Egyptian rabies. That he became a carrier for the malady. And it would appear he passed on this infection. Because there are at least two more out there, and they are not going away.
A long moment stood between them as they considered this. Rebecca realized her fatal mistake in discussing the realities out loud with him a fraction before he reacted. Dawson put down his glass, hefted the shotgun, and strode towards the stairs, which Rebecca immediately moved to block.
Out of the way!
No!
Move, child! I am protecting the both of us!
He shoved past her with dreadful strength, and Rebecca scrabbled to intercept on the bend of the stairs. The walls were cramped around them as she flung her arms out on either side.
Out of the way.
Dawson, look at me. Look at me. My sister is ill. She may or may not be carrying the disease, but if it is Egyptian rabies, it has only just reached our shores. How can we possibly tell what our doctors will come up with to combat the infection? No. Think about it. This isn't the Dark Ages. They're not throwing leeches on people. We are in an age of science and reason and rationality. We can invent, formulate, and discover our way out of any crisis.
It's too much risk. She could take a turn, come downstairs, and gut us while we wait for the coach.
He barged past and thundered up the stairs. Rebecca hurtled up after him, tripping on the hem of her dress along the way and ripping it apart in her frantic movement.
No! She's locked in. Cleo had the key. She can't get out of there at all.
Dawson was just discovering this as he tried the handle of the master bedroom door. Enraged at its refusal to open, he aimed the muzzle of the shotgun at the lock. Rebecca sprinted the distance between them and grabbed the gun's barrel, shoving it to one side as she clawed at him, whipping the bandage off in her fury and exposing the bite underneath. Dawson reeled in shock as she bellowed into his face.
Kill her! You may as well put this gun in your own mouth, you spineless bastard! Now get away from my sister!
They stood for some time, as he rubbed his sticky, stained fingertips together while the hand that held the gun trembled. Rebecca could not help noticing that under the ruptured carapace of dried blood, his wound had begun to heal at the edges. Eventually, he stepped away to the left, in the direction of the stairs again.
You say our doctors can cure the rabies?
They are the finest in the world, after all.
Rebecca's voice shook. Her throat was raw.
Then she is your responsibility. I shall take the coach to town tomorrow and send another back for the two of you. If needs be, a medical wagon to restrain her and take her to hospital.
Agreed.
She waited as he slowly backed down the stairs, clutching at his gun and trying to reapply his dressing one-handed.
I'm sure I'll be sending one for you too,
she said quietly, once he was out of earshot. Rebecca slumped down with her back against the bedroom door and held her face in her hands. A long moment drifted by, and she wasn't sure whether she was asleep or awake, but a voice next to her ear made her inhale sharply.
A soldier, soldier, won't you marry me? With your musket, fife and drum.
It was Amanda. Her voice was lilting, husky, passionate.
No, sweet maid, I cannot marry thee, for I have a wife of my own.
Rebecca shifted in the dim corridor to peer through the keyhole. The master bedroom, which had been lit with an oil lamp, was now in darkness. Only shafts of moonlight coming through the uncurtained windows revealed a patch of the floor. This pool of lunar green was occluded as a shadow passed between it and Rebecca's eye. Amanda was watching her.
Sister?
The response was a long, sighing breath.
Is there anything you need that I can bring you?
Rebecca knew full well that nothing was going to be passed through that door into the locked room. To unlock it meant venturing outside and rifling through poor Cleo's pinafore. It was unthinkable at this point. Perhaps tomorrow, in the light, when she could see if the attackers were around, through the window. The way they had moved in tandem the moment their companion Cavendish was killed suddenly struck Rebecca. It was as though they were a wolf pack responding to an alteration in the hunt. Was that what Amanda was becoming? A wolf inside? Rebecca peered through the keyhole again, and this time saw her sister's face touched by moonlight. Her eye glinted. The rest was in shadow.
Inferno.
The word stood out of context and hung in the air.
Can I?
Mouth.
Another interruption. The words came out as nonsense, which nonetheless had an unsettling air of specificity and delicacy.
Fingers.
Now a chill was creeping up Rebecca's spine.
Lyrical. Inferno. Myself.
This was babble. Rebecca crushed her eyes shut and tears began to stream down her cheeks. Her sister was slipping away into the cold embrace of madness.
Clockwork. Heart.
Rebecca wiped her face and straightened up.
Come back to me.
She whispered through the door.
White. God.
Amanda crooned in response. A sudden, sharp, percussive pounding from below caught Rebecca's attention, and she sprang to her feet and rushed to the stairs, the brass fire poker feeling small and flimsy in her hand. You have been listening to the New Century Multiverse. Let Them Go. Episode 10. A Man's Work. Written, narrated, and directed by Alexander Shaw. Rebecca Wolverton, performed by Sharon Shaw. Burwell Dawson, performed by Matt Ramsey. Amanda Culver, performed by Theo Lee. Low Note, Gnarled Situation, Evening of Chaos, Come Play With Me, and Vanishing. Composed and performed by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Many soundscapes provided by Tabletop Audio. The production of New Century is funded by you, wonderful people, via Patreon. And our special $15 sponsors get named credit. So many thanks to Joel Robinson, Abel Savard, Rune Lord Firiano, Luke Hatfield, Nick Ord, Sarah Montgomery, Duran Barnett, Tom Painter, Finbar Nicole, Jameis Enright, Mark Lush, Dan Mayer, Joe Crow, Chris Finnick, Toby Jungius, Dave Hickman, Aaron Lecluse, David Garcia Abril, Kieran Datchler, and Lorraine Chisholm. At this moment, James Penrose, aged 13, was carving a pumpkin and being told Halloween stories by the staff of Belworth Manor as the Virginia dusk closed in, little knowing the horrors that he would be shutting out within a few months as he became that house's sole occupant.